only. So possibly we need to look at what the criteria is and if it needs to be reviewed again to stay up to date with the efficiency and reduction of fuel load. The question I have, in addition to the pine bins, which I am so in favor of, of course, I have tried to utilize them in the past. Some days, if you realize that there's any emptiness and availability, it's rally around the flag boys, and everybody in the neighborhood makes a blind rush to empty their debris bins. My feeling is, I know that some of this is beyond control to some degree because they aren't monitored. But if we can keep them relegated to pine needles only and other leafy debris, as opposed to manzanita bushes, which might end up taking up two-thirds of the bin, and we get the landscape guys who are utilizing them. I get it. I totally get it that people want a low-cost way of disposing of green waste. And I have always felt that if we can make it low cost, you dissuade dumping and therefore make it for not only a safer but a cleaner Amador County. So right now I do feel that the wildfire issues and the pine needle issues are incredibly large, and I would like to see this board be able to direct staff to not only review the current burning regulations, but also perhaps look into some kind of a pine needle or green waste collection point on the surface streets in front of homes, so that I'm not loading up my one-ton truck, driving over, finding out that the bin's already full, and then bringing it back to load to throw on my ground again and either burning or adding to the carbon load in that way. So thank you so much, Board. I have to leave about 2:15, and I don't want to be rude, and thank you for the great service you do.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hearing none, seeing none, we'll move on. Administrative matters. Review of minutes. Approval. The October 15th meeting.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Second. Yeah, second.
I have a motion to approve by Director Axe and a second by Director Peters. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay, second item on administrative matters, election of officers for 2020.
You've done a wonderful job, Bob.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
Supervisor Axe or Director Axe is our vice chair, is that correct?
Correct.
It would make sense to move Director Axe into the chair position, and I'd make that nomination.
I'd second
that. I have a motion for Director Axe as chairman and a second by Director Crew. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. And we need a vice chair.
Any interest, Jeff?
No.
How about you, Tom? You come to every meeting.
Yeah.
I would move that Tom Reed go into the vice chair position.
Chances are pretty good I won't make it till this time next year, but I'll be out in December. But
it's all right, though, huh? It's only vice chair.
Okay.
I'll second that nomination, then.
A motion by Director Forrester and a second by Director Axe to appoint Tom Reed for vice chair. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm moving.
Yep, you're out of here.
I'm out of here.
Okay, so next item.
Adjournment.
Item three.
Item three, approval of meeting schedule for 2020.
Move to approve is presented.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Director Crew, and the second was from Peters. Director Peters. Any comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carried unanimously. Moving right along to air pollution control officer agreement, item number four. This is an agreement of how the district will compensate or pay for Mike Israel's salary. Mike, do you want to come up and say a few things? And I did talk to Chuck Eiley about this, so I know a little bit of the background on it as well.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Mike Israel, Air Pollution Control Officer. The proposal before you now would basically put 25% of my time into the Air District's budget. That is more efficient, I think, than putting in a dollar amount in a line item to be charged against periodically. My understanding is that in the past, the Air District or Air Pollution Control Officers charging against that would not always come within the same fiscal year that it was budgeted. So I think that just a flat 25% budget line item would make it simpler for everybody. In dollar amount, it would fairly substantially reduce the amount that was assumed in the past. I think $100,000 was budgeted in the past. 25% of my time is somewhere south of $60,000.
Right. And then 50% for your vehicle costs. Seems reasonable.
Right. And the way that that would work out, since we don't have a lease, the district owns the vehicle outright that we're talking about. We have an agreement among staff that the fuel charges would come out of the environmental health budget where the bulk of my salary is located, and maintenance would come out of Air District. And if we came to any huge imbalance there, we could adjust down the road. But intuitively, that seems like a relatively fair 50-50 balance.
I was surprised to see this, because it was my understanding when we bought the vehicle that there would be shared expenses between the Air District and
Public
Waste Management.
Correct.
But it doesn't look like that ever happened. Is that correct?
I don't know that I have seen where that was ever charged.
I think the intent was always to split it. So this is more consistent in my recollection to what the original intent was.
Right. So I apologize for putting a slightly different spin on these items than what is in the memo. The memo was drafted on my behalf, and I saw it essentially after it was placed in your packet.
Any other questions or comments from board members? Any comments from the public? Okay, seeing none. Do we want to consider a motion here?
Move to adopt the proposed agreement for Air District Air Pollution Control Officer salary and vehicle costs.
Okay, we have a motion by Director Peters and a second by Director Crew.
Can I clarify? What Mike was saying was slightly different than what's in the packet, right? In the packet, it's pay 50% of his vehicle costs, whereas Mike is suggesting maintenance costs.
If there were a periodic lease and fuel charge, then a 50% split would be feasible. However, maintenance, there is no line item for maintenance of the vehicle. Fuel, in my experience with most county vehicles, it's about a 50-50 mix between fuel and maintenance on vehicles. So my thought was the way to implement this 50-50 proposal is for environmental health to pay all fuel costs and Air District to cover all maintenance costs. If it turns out that that is radically imbalanced one way or the other, we can revisit in the future. That's my suggestion on it.
So this memorandum is still accurate. It's just an understanding of how that's going to be achieved.
Exactly. I'm just providing the mechanism.
I misunderstood.
If necessary, I'm happy to amend the motion to reflect the specificity that Mike presented at the podium.
It's okay with the second.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion and a second. And is any other questions? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. All right. Moving on to item number five, which is what? City, county, agency, diesel program, public works chipper. And do you want to tee this up, Mike?
Sure. This program will replace a chipper owned and operated by Public Works Department. It's a project that was proposed by Public Works staff, reviewed by Air District staff, and we recommend approval of the proposal.
Okay.
What are we doing with the old chipper then?
Old chippers have to be put out of commission.
We don't. Can we sell them out of the state or anything else? Like
my understanding is we can't.
Yes.
Can we?
Our program.
I think we've discussed selling them out of state in the past.
Because this is our little CCAD program, we do allow GSA to go ahead and put it out for sale outside the state of California.
So I.
Or it's allowed. It's allowed.
Yeah, I Googled it a little bit. No, sir. Chippers are worth quite a bit still.
So we don't have to drill a hole in the block, huh?
Require it.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's you, Frank.
Yes.
Taking a while to think.
It took a few seconds. Yeah, okay. Don't do that to me.
First, a point of clarification. Mike, your memo indicates that the district 2019-2020 budget has $50,000 allocated to the CCAD program, but I'm looking at the what I believe to be the final budget, and I only see $25,000 in that program. And that'd be line item 54120. I went back to the August.
At our last board meeting, when the budget was determined, there was $25,000 for the CCAD and $25,000 for the wood stove replacement program. Since we are doing the wood stove replacement program with El Dorado County, we agreed that if needed, we could use those $25,000 towards CCAD projects.
Thank you. I have a couple of other questions if you are ready, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
So when we first established the CCAD program, it was I thought, very well thought out, and there was a time period during which applications could be submitted. And we evaluated applications, and everybody had an equal opportunity to participate, and everything was good. But since then, it seems to have morphed into an ad hoc program that the rules for which seem to be something a little more arbitrary than originally envisioned. So, you know, Mike, can you – I know you're brand new, and I – can you give us some history on the CCAD program?
I don't know that I can give you history on the CCAD program, but Matt Peterson
maybe
might
Matt.
Be able to.
And Matt, you know what I'm saying, Matt. This initially started as a very well thought out, cohesive program with a budget and timeframes for applications and all that, and now I'm not sure what it is.
Correct. So, it probably turned into a different type of program. But we're trying to bring it back, especially with a project like this right now, which we're going to go through pretty much the same structure that we did with that original program. Here we're replacing, you know, CCAD city or agency equipment. This chipper here, I asked Public Works not to use it as of January 1st, 2020, because that's when that Tier 1 was non grata. You could not use it in the state of California per CARB rules. So I told them they're going to have to sit that one in, sell it as surplus.
How old a chipper is it?
I think it's a 91, somewhere right around there. Or it might be a newer than that. I can't recall exactly.
You know what?
No, it's a 90, I think a 99.
So, wow.
But that's a tier one. In 2 years, tier twos are going to have the same rules apply. And then I think 9 years from now, tier threes will be going.
So we've got to retire all of us too, I guess. Maybe Hermina might. She might survive.
Yeah. So in this case, and the way things were working out, and with, you know, I mean, this all happened the last month or so, but we thought that this was definitely a viable piece of equipment that was being affected by a specific rule. And if we could help with getting one to replace, because they do need those chippers out there for all the debris that, you know, comes down in storms, they do get utilized quite a bit. All right? Does that answer your question, or do you want more? I can't answer what happened from the original time to, you know, what happened maybe recently.
How about I address that maybe? Because I think I know where you're going a little bit, Robin. One thought I'd have, and it's something, only problem I might see is maintenance or availability. I would wonder if this chipper couldn't be made available towards, maybe it's at Public Works, but when they're not using it, it's available to the cities. You don't use a chipper all the time, and I don't think any place would use a chipper all the time unless you're a real big entity. And it's an expensive piece of equipment. I think probably as a, oh, I guess I'm here. I don't want to talk like a socialist or something like that. But as a community, maybe we get more bang for a buck if it was available to cities and county, maybe even like a water agency or something like that. Just a thought.
What was the purchase price on this thing?
Probably not cheap.
I thought it was
$50,000,
wasn't it?
I didn't say a purchase price anywhere, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. District's budget was $50,000 out to the program, yeah.
Matt, do you know what the purchase price on that piece of equipment is?
So a few years ago, they bought, I think, the same one, Mobark or Bandit, I can't remember. I believe they bought that one for $55,000. I think to replace that now is about 80 to 85, somewhere in that realm, for the same, you know, 15-inch drum with the winch on it and such. Somewhere around there. They are expensive.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
No, the whole California Air Resources Board is, in my opinion, they're out of control. But
I guess my concern, or one of my concerns with this particular request is that, by my calculation, it ate up our entire budget for the year. But based on a revised number, it eats up 50% of our budget for the year. What other projects might be out there, we don't know, because the program hasn't been actively advertising or soliciting requests from agencies. I mean, Cedar Creek may have a need, for example, but they may be thinking that the program has come and gone and that it's no longer active and didn't make a request for that reason. And, you know, it may be true of other jurisdictions as well. So
I would like to research what the program cycle, grant cycle, is supposed to be and get back on track and get the word out to potentially eligible jurisdictions on how and when they can apply for their fair share.
Yeah, and I'm not I'm in support of this application or this request. I think it's a good fit. But I'd like to see the program revived and given proper budget so that one request like this doesn't gobble up so much of the budget. When we do have some money in the bank and our intention all along has been to put that money back to the ground working for, you know, the various cities and the county and special districts. So.
Right. So if we have an application cycle, we can review all of them and weigh them against each other rather than just taking the first one that fits.
That's the idea. If we have more applications than we have more requests than we have money to apply, then we'll have to make some determination as to which get funded and which don't. And I think we've been in that position before. Okay. But before, we've always had a much larger budget, and we've been able to accommodate certainly most of the requests, and maybe all at some level. I'd like to be back there again if we have the money to do it.
That's my goal as well.
Great. And Mike, put on there.
and already always gets our requests in early. So we've already got some that we've approved.
So you're talking in prior years?
Not prior years, but I think we've already approved some funding this year to go to Jackson, and at least in 2019.
Okay.
Again, those are requests that have come in on an ad hoc basis fairly recently, yeah.
I said that in a good way for Jackson. They're proactive. So.
Thank you. Well, I was getting ahead of you.
Come on, Jackson.
Taken.
Yeah. Robin, back to your comment. In October of 2019, we did send out letters to all the cities having them give us their top three projects or pieces of equipment that they were interested in replacing per our CCAD program. We did get response from three of the cities. I can't quite tell you which ones because I don't remember anymore. Lots of the equipment that they did put on there were trucks. So the CCAD program doesn't necessarily do the on-road. There might have been one of the cities that requested, I think maybe the city of Ione was requesting a mower.
Yes, that was quite a while ago, yeah.
Yeah. So we did do the outreach for our 2019, and we do have those letters. But out of most of them, they were all on road vehicles.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You know, getting back to my original question, what would be the thought about maybe making this piece of equipment available? I mean, I do cringe a little bit about maintenance. I understand chippers. You know, somebody starts throwing rocks through them or, Lord forbid, big chunks of metal. You can really raise hell. But just, and maybe it's too big a chipper for some entities. I don't know. That's a big chipper.
Yeah, I think that is a question for Public Works, but I think it's an excellent idea, and maybe not just for the chipper, but maybe for some other equipment that we have that, you know, might be too much for a smaller jurisdiction to buy off on, rather than lease from somebody outside that might be able to lease locally.
Well, that I'm maybe not even lease. I'm thinking maybe part of this. Say, hey, this equipment, you know, so maybe up to 30% a year of this machine may be used for local fire districts or cities, and you know, otherwise. Well, buy that piece of equipment, hey, it's cost prohibitive for entities.
Right.
But if you can go and get that for, you know, a week here or a week or two, it would probably be pretty nice.
So I see this as an item maybe going to the Public Works Committee for additional fleshing it out.
It could, but we're probably making a decision here, and we're to be possibly allocating funds.
Right.
But maybe we can make the funds conditional. So, yeah, we will participate, you know, towards purchasing this, but we'd like to see this piece of equipment, you know, available on occasion.
Director, another problem I see is if you want something to break down, loan it to someone.
And I that does bother me.
Did I beat you to the punch, Dominic? Sorry.
Any public comment? Dominic.
Dominic Marino, Sutter Creek Fire. So I actually agree if there's a tool offer, because Sutter Creek Fire has been looking at doing a finding a chipper. Are we looking on the market to maybe try to get a illegal one and hide it? and that's the problem is you go out and buy something and you have to throw it away in a couple of years. And we financially, none of us can afford those things, doing that constantly. If we had opportunity, Sutter Creek Fire District, inside the city of Sutter Creek and inside the city of Emerald City, where we can get a chipper for a week or two or something like that, when we have a project scheduled out, we can that would help us tremendously going forward. And like you said, there might be other things out there, too, that might be helpful for cities, county, the county, cities, special districts also on the same avenue. So we definitely are interested because we want to expand what we do in Sutter Creek to limit the fire building in the city going forward.
Okay, so where does this put us? Are we going to have staff look into this and then bring it back at the next meeting, or are we going to move forward today, or what?
I think it's up to the board whether you make a decision today or not, and that decision would be either to support or oppose the program. and whether or not that is conditional upon that piece of equipment being available to other jurisdictions. I think that it being a public works asset, there might be other considerations.
Such as
potential for liability, cost recovery, that kind of thing. I mean, like was mentioned, if you want to run a piece of equipment, you loan it out. So there would probably need to be some kind of agreement, even if it's loaned out free of charge. I think that there would need to be some kind of agreement as far as, you know, responsibility for damage, that kind of thing.
Okay.
It would have to be shared maintenance costs, shared liabilities.
And whether we want to establish that up front as a shared cost or develop a lease rate to cover those, those are the things I think that need to be fleshed out.
The reason I asked about the capital cost of the unit was to quickly evaluate the notion of the Air District purchasing a unit itself and making it available to all jurisdictions, counties, cities, special districts, whatever, in lieu of trying to borrow it back from Public Works when it was available. And I'm not sure that's a great idea. All the attendant problems, maintenance, repairs, that sort of thing, would accrue then to the Air District. I'm not sure we're ready for that. But I think there's a strong nexus between the Air District owning and providing that piece of equipment in the interest of smoke reduction and alternative to burning, that sort of thing. So I see a nexus there. It seems like a direct link between what we do and what we're trying to do with our grant programs and that concept. Whether it makes financial sense, I don't know. And I would rely on somebody like yourself, Mike, to figure that out, come up with all the pros and cons and the likely cost of that. Something to think about.
So that puts a new spin on it. Would the board like me to come back and provide some input on the variables we talked about today?
I'd be interested in seeing that, yeah.
Yeah. I think if we're going to consider that. So you'll bring it back at our next meeting, which will be in March, I guess. So we'll take this item up at that time.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, any other questions or comments? Okay. Yeah, I think so. Item number six, APCO's updates on various, the CARB truck. Anyway, you want to run through that, Mike, please?
Sure. At the October 15, 2019 meeting, Air District staff was asked to bring back this topic as an agenda item. Due to staff changes, the item did not make it onto the agenda. We're requesting you provide staff direction for a future meeting. I think in your correspondence packet, there is a letter from Richard Corey, CEO of CARB, that kind of provides a little bit of background on their position and the litigation that essentially ties their hands on some of their flexibility that they had tried to exercise prior to 2014.
Yeah, well, at least they wrote back. So that was going to be an update on CARB, RAP, smoke projects,
right,
all that.
So the RAP funds update, we're working with CATCOA and Mr. Bob Fine to get his masticator replacement project underway. We need for Mr. Fine to provide us some additional information to carry that project forward. As far as special projects, Lockwood Fire Station has submitted their paperwork on the new generator that they purchased. It was installed on December 30th, and Matt Peterson will be doing a final inspection within the next week. The smoke reduction bin program, the pine needle bins, the Air District has received positive feedback from residents on our monthly free disposal of pine needles events, and we plan to continue the program for the coming year, starting in April, going at least through September, and hopefully through October, weather permitting. We'll also do our neighborhood program during those same months. I would like to, as was raised by our member of the public speaking earlier, look at other possible ways to improve and expand that, possibly providing bins during the weather like today where we can burn, but to provide folks an alternative to burning if they desire.
Yeah, one of the You know, now that you mentioned the pine needle bin, I mean, as soon as we took the bins out, you know, this last fall, when we were going to have the bins there from September to October or November, like the very next week or that week, there were all kinds of winds and all of these pine needles came out of the trees. And so, you know, I was scrambling to try to find a way to, you know, to help someone up in Pine Acres that had all these pine needles and really didn't want to burn them but didn't have a place to take them. So I was able to contact ACES on that, but I don't think we can do that normally. I tried to explain to them, but, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, I don't know if these are the best, that's the best window of opportunity. I think it ended first week in November or something like that. I don't know if we want to go longer at that point in time. And when are we going to start back up? In March?
April.
April.
We're scheduled to start back up in April. I still need to do some legwork to make sure that any pine needles we collect have an ultimate disposal site, recycling site, whichever, and to make sure that it's reasonably cost effective. We want to be able to provide this service, but not if it's going to break the bank.
Right. I was at the Vicini facility doing some other things just a few days ago, and I got a firsthand look at the pine needle problem at their facility, and it's not insignificant. They do not decompose like the other materials, and they are causing problems. So, if I recall correctly, last year they essentially drew a line in the sand and said no more, or almost
correct.
No more.
Yeah.
So we do have to be careful about what we have in mind.
Right. So taking a look at possible expansion of the bin program, and as Mr. Finkelstein mentioned, possibly other means of burning if they prefer to burn pine needles in a way that doesn't create so much heavy smoke. And then there's the wood stove changeout program. The new MOU was received and signed.
The bin program. So we actually you guys still have a bin in Sutter Creek right now.
Yep.
Yes.
At your fire station?
Yes.
Okay. Is it full?
Yes. We fill it probably three times a week.
So who comes and empties it? ACES?
ACES.
Oh, okay.
So the program's still ongoing currently. We've had the bin there since April of last year.
Okay.
Continuously, and people from around the county are actually coming in and filling it. And we basically really oversee it.
Yeah, that's a safe area of, you know, safe.
Yeah, there is no garbage going in. There's no wood stoves. There's nothing like that. So we also don't allow landscapers in. We see a landscaper come in, we go catch them. They know better now. They don't show up there anymore. So the program, I want to thank the board. The program is working great. It's really beneficial for our older population that used to burn. They're not as comfortable burning today. So you'll see a little old lady driving in her car and pull one little bag of material out and dump it in there and drive off. And the next day she'll do it again. And so it's a great program. It used to be five bins in the county. Then it was down to last year there was only one bin. It was in Sutter Creek this last year because of the trash that was being thrown into them and garbage and everything else. As part of that, it's a great program. If we can keep it year-round, that would be great. Like I said, right now we are filling that thing up. We actually made a compactor out of a truck with a piece of 10-foot culvert pipe, which we basically put a pallet on, and we actually like a big old plunger. So when it leaves our station, it is packed full. So other places, they would have to empty it more often. We can pack that thing really full before the ACES come, which cuts down on the cost for transporting. It's a great program, right? Something I think we need to really look at, because I see all that fuel leaving, and that's less fuel being in the future. I've noticed in Sutter Creek, especially this winter, there's less burning in Sutter Creek. So there's less burning happening, but people are bringing stuff up. So I think there is it's one of those things that's hard to pinpoint, but I think there is a benefit between that program and less burning in the city of Sutter Creek. But there are people coming from Pine Grove, Ione, Plymouth, driving up and putting stuff in there.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
One other thing on that, the same thing. Gentleman brought about burning, you know, about possibly maybe looking at changing some of the rules on burning and stuff. I'm in actually concurrence with that. We need to look at ways we can dispose of stuff, but we still have to burn. There's just too much stuff to get rid of, so it has to be burned. One issue is when a burn day. A burn day is a day where it's windy, basically. It moves the smoke up and out. The problem is if you have a burn day and it's on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and also Friday, Saturday, Sunday are non-burn days, the next week is Tuesday, Wednesday next week, and then the following weekend is not a burn day. A lot of people work Monday through Friday, come home to do maintenance around the house. It's not burn days. And I think we maybe need to, like, if there's a way during February, March, April, we can maybe relax that a little bit to allow more weekend burn days. Just I think it would help. Get people, again, is if it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday or burn days and somebody's at work and then also weekends, it what's happening is it's just being left there. Right. Yeah, so.
I think it's not only the, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but it's not just the weather conditions that day, but also we have to kind of share the air with, you know, our neighbors to the north and south, so we can't all have a burn day the same day.
Oh, but it's something we need to, if there's some way we can look at it, and it's maybe something to push up at the state, is it'll be helpful because when these fires get going, they're consuming the fuel. They're not only consuming the wood products. When they get in homes, now they're pesticides, hazmats, plastics, and everything else that are being released also. So if we can eliminate fuel loading and if people can clean their properties more, better, I think it benefits all of us long term.
I would agree. If you look at the big picture, when you have, you know, a town of 37,000 people burn up a gas station, schools, hospitals.
All that stuff's dumped in Sacramento. All those people in Sacramento are breathing all that garbage.
It's probably going. It's going in your air. It's probably going in your water. Ultimately, at some point. Yeah, I think it's we're being with the old saying. They talk about penny wise and dollar foolish. So we're making one air, you know, one micron cleaner, but on the other hand, we're making tons dirtier.
This might be something we can just push it up, saying, hey, we need a little more. Let us be a little more relaxed on it. Maybe a couple weekends. Say maybe allow 2 weekends a month or something like that. Where, unless it's really bad, you know, we allow people to burn on those weekends extra. Just a thought.
What about like having a biomass plant here of some sort?
That would be great too. The problem is now trying to sell your electricity and the cost and everything else. I think there was a biomass down in Jackson Valley, and then financially they changed the rules where it wasn't green anymore, and it financially wasn't possible.
There were some issues with that, but I know I heard that El Dorado, I think, just got a biomass plant, and Calaveras has got a small one as well. So
it'd be great to get portable biomass plants where you can pull them into an area for 3 to 6 months, connect into the PG&E system, generate power, and then go to the next location.
The only problem is portable ones don't burn pine needles. You got to have logs to run in them. I looked into that quite a bit before. You need to have heavy amount of fuel load to run with them. The air curtain burners and those type of portable units are not set up for fine fuels, or because I was really looking at trying to get PG&E to fund part of it with a lot of their chipping, and the system won't accept chips. And it also takes five permit.
Title five,
thank you. Title five permit to get across, and I guess it's a royal pain to try to get a hold of.
Well, I think it's something to consider for the future because we have to do a lot of vegetation management here, and we have to dispose of that debris, you know. Okay. So the agreement for the with El Dorado County is
signed.
Signed.
There's a copy in your packet, yes.
Okay. And so now the budget, so you're going to talk about the financials? Or so actually on the wood stove project, I guess El Dorado gets half of our funding. Yeah, okay.
That is correct, yes.
Right.
So perhaps I could, since I'm not as adept at spelling this out, I can ask Herminia to kind of give a rundown on the financials.
Sure.
So the financials are from the start of the fiscal year through January 16th. They have our most recent bills that we have paid, any income, excuse me, any income that has come in. And it's just basically for your guys' viewing. The numbers are probably within the thousands of Pentimation, so whatever's upstairs versus this is QuickBooks. This is my system internally so that I could keep track of all the bills that come into the area district.
So what are we of budget? So are we halfway through our budget, being halfway through the fiscal year? So are we kind of on target there? Or?
We are pretty close to target.
Okay.
We've done a really good job with our programs, with our income coming in. At the end of the fiscal year, we'll be getting our income from all our sources for the permits to operate. So we are on track with our budget. I upgraded to a new QuickBooks, and the newer version gives you a little bit more. I was able to actually import our actual budget into QuickBooks, so it gives you a little bit more of a better understanding where our numbers actually are in comparison to our budget and how far, what the percentage is of us meeting those numbers. So we're pretty close.
And Air District has been using QuickBooks for many, many years, correct?
Since Chris was here, yeah.
Right. And the benefit of using that as opposed to Pentimation is that it gives a lot more detail about expenses and revenue, correct?
Correct. And I have more control over it because as soon as I get a bill, I incorporate it into QuickBooks, and so I'm able to see on a daily basis what has come in, what has gone out. At the end of the month, I do a reconciliation in QuickBooks with the Pentimation sheets so that everything matches that went into the county accounts matches my QuickBooks, and they both match in regards to income coming in and expenses going out.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Any public comment? Okay, well, thanks, Mike, on that, and Herminia. And then I guess our last item is correspondence, and hopefully you read the letter from CARB, which basically rejected our wish to extend the period of decommissioning diesel engines, and they explained why, and I guess a combination of a lawsuit they had, and SB1. So, I don't know. Any other questions or comments on this particular item? Okay. Well, if there are no other further questions or comments, any public comment or anything, then I guess we're adjourned until March 17th.